He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His love so divine joins his heart and mine. For God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and straightway he constrained the disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side. It is written, but the boat was now in the midst of the sea, distressed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. It is written, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It is written, and they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It is written, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, saying, Lord, save me.
For God is just a prayer.
And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service too to him belongs. Souls in danger look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Matthew chapter 14, A Walk with Jesus. There are a few things that millions of people know about Jesus. A few things they know, even though they have never read the Bible or been inside of a church building of any kind. And one of those things that everybody knows about is the fact that Jesus did at one time walk on water. In fact, it is proverbial. Every time someone does something difficult, someone will say that person can walk on water. So in Matthew chapter 14 is the story of this inspirational event in the life of the Master. The Lord had fed the 5,000 with 5 small loaves and 2 fishes, and he perceived that the multitude wanted to seize him and make him king against his will. So before the apostles could be caught up in this madness, Jesus sent them back across the Sea of Galilee in the boat until he dismissed the crowd. Jesus told them he would meet them later, but he did not tell them how he would do it. After he got rid of the crowd, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the disciples got into the boat, John informs us it was now dark, and the sea was rising by reason of a great wind that blew. During the storm, Jesus looked down and saw them toiling at the rowing. He watched them row that boat against the wind for about 7 or 8 hours. We know this is true because he came to them in the fourth watch of the night, that would be 3 o'clock in the morning, and they had rowed all that time and had only gone about 3 or 4 miles. At that time, Jesus came to them walking upon the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bidst me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, Come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, here are 3 questions concerning this true historical story in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 1, why did Jesus wait so long before coming to the rescue of the apostles? Jesus let them struggle against the wind around 7 or 8 hours, covering no more than 3 or 4 miles before he arrived on the scene. Because this same crew in the boat that night would be the same crew in the church, the old ship of Zion, that would be launched on the day of Pentecost. Jesus was on the mountain during the storm, and they would be fighting the storm alone while he watched from the top of the mountain praying for them. Later on, when the church began, they would also be alone. Jesus would have left them 10 days before in Acts chapter 1, after he had made purification of sins by his death on the cross, raised up from the dead, ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, as stated in Hebrews chapter 1. The apostles were alone again on this trip on the Sea of Galilee. It would be a good training for the voyage in the old ship of Zion. The launching of the old ship of Zion was a great occasion. The church began with a great ingathering after the first gospel sermon was preached, and 3,000 who believed the gospel story repented and were baptized for the remission of sins and were added to the church that day. It looked like the church was in for some smooth sailing, as we are told the Lord added to the church, day by day, those that were being saved. However, in Acts the 4th chapter, the storm began. Peter and John were jailed overnight for preaching the gospel and threatened not to preach again. Then in the 5th chapter, all the apostles were jailed, and all of them were beaten and turned loose with another warning not to speak nor preach in the name of Jesus. the apostles rejoiced that they were accounted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And then in the 7th chapter, Stephen was stoned for preaching the word. Then in the 8th chapter, the storm increased in power, and a great persecution of the church began in Jerusalem. And all the members of the church were scattered abroad except the apostles. All the while, the storm was raging. Jesus was at the right hand of God and saw them toiling at the rowing and continued to intercede for them. And this was only the beginning. In Acts 12, James was beheaded and Peter jailed with the intent to kill him also. Then throughout the rest of the book of Acts, the storm continued unabated through the ministry of Paul. And even in the last 8 chapters of the book of Acts, they were continuing in their effort to kill him. But through it all, the Lord prospered as they rode against the wind. And Jesus continued to intercede as he watched them toiling at the rowing. Ladies and gentlemen, the church today continues to sail against stormy seas. The winds are always contrary. Listen to the news and look at some of the laws of the land that cater to the liberals. In some countries, worship in a public place is forbidden. Church houses are being burned down, believers jailed and tortured. We receive letters every week testifying to these modern-day conditions, but we still have the assurance that the Lord looks down from heaven and sees us toiling at the rowing, and he will come to our rescue in his own time. But there are some today who, rather than toil at the rowing, are content to drift with the tide, whichever way the wind is blowing. The poet has expressed it well. Must I be wafted to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to gain the prize and sail through bloody seas? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is still watching from heaven and interceding. He sees us also today, toiling at the rowing. And now the second question, why did they suppose him to be a spirit? It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Matthew 14, the 16th verse says, the word spirit in this verse means phantom or ghost. And the word for cried out indicates they actually shrieked and screamed in their fear. They thought Jesus was a phantom, a ghost, a specter, something unreal. The disciples knew the boat was real. They knew the wind was real. They knew the sea was real. They knew they were in danger of dying a real death by drowning. And they knew this was no nightmare. Everything about the situation was real, except Jesus. He was a phantom, a ghost, unreal. We wonder how many people today think Jesus is a phantom. He is unreal. Today, many are living in fantasy land. We read and see all kinds of crime and horrible murders, and nothing is referred to as sin. Sin is not real. No one is a sinner. We make our own rules of morality. Right or wrong is what we think. Some people may be maladjusted, but no one is a sinner. The church is a fantasy and has no real purpose in life, no influence on us. The Bible is a collection of myths, like the stories of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales, and even most, quote, Christians, unquote, as far as the Bible is concerned, never bother to read it. And baptism has no relevance at all to salvation. And the Lord's Supper is a meaningless ceremony where people eat a little piece of bread and take a sip of grape juice, and many ignore it altogether. The disciples found out that Jesus was not a phantom. Jesus was for real, and the only answer to the problems of certain destruction. For them and for us now, times have not changed. Christ is the answer, and the only answer, the one and only answer of escape from the horrible future that looms before us all. Sin is for real. The devil is for real. Jesus is for real. The cross on which Jesus died for our sins is for real. The church Jesus established on the day of Pentecost is for real. Death is for real. Hell is for real. Heaven is for real. The second coming is for real. The judgment day is for real. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only real, it is the real deal. And now the third question, why did Jesus walk on the water? Maybe we can't really tell for sure, but first consider the thought. He was a phantom to them, and straightway Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters." Jesus answered him with one word, "Come." That was not the first time Peter had heard Jesus give him that invitation, "Come." One day he and his brother Andrew were by the seaside washing their nets early in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus walked by and said, "Come, ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men," and they did. This time was somewhat different. Peter obeyed again and went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" There are two occasions when the disciples were caught during a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The first time, Jesus was in the boat with them. He was exhausted from his labors, asleep in the hindermost part of the ship on a pillow. When he was awakened then, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And straightway there was a great calm. Jesus did not use a rod like Moses, nor did he even stretch out his hand like Moses. He simply spoke the word, "Peace, be still." He rebuked the wind. The gospel song reminds us, "No water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still." By this miracle, he demonstrated his complete mastery over everything. But in the miracle here, where he walked on the water, it was different. He didn't say, "Peace, be still." He didn't rebuke the wind. He let the storm rage on, unabated. Jesus again was preparing them for that future voyage on the old ship of Zion. Sometimes in our voyage today, the storm never seems to let up. One blast of the wind and then another. And then, as they had it, even as we have it now, we have no choice but to row on and sail on. And then when they saw him walking on the water, they learned that he is still in control, even though he was absent all the while the storm raged. They learned the lesson ahead of time that he reminded them of in the Great Commission. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's why Mark tells us after the ascension of Jesus, and Jesus was no longer visible, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word by the signs that followed. So they learned that the church is always in for stormy weather. But the Lord, though absent and unseen, is still working with us today. But there was something else they learned during that storm. They learned when Jesus is in control, the impossible becomes possible. No matter what it may be regarding the program of carrying out the conversion of the world, they must have thought about that night of the storm later on when Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 that they should be his witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. They had no money, no backing of any kind to do this impossible task. But Jesus said, do it. They believed it could be done, and they did it, because the impossible becomes possible with Jesus. Over 40 years ago, against the advice of everyone, we consulted about starting this radio ministry regarding the masses. We passed by a church one night that was having a revival meeting and decided to stop in for a visit for the services. That night, the preacher preached a sermon about Peter and his attempt to walk on the water. And the title of the message was, Wet Feet and Working Faith. That preacher knew nothing of our plans for the radio program, but I thought it was ironic. During that sermon, he kept repeating the phrase, whatever you want to do in the Lord's work, you have to get your feet wet first. You have to get out of the boat. We left the services that night thinking, that's what we've been waiting for. And over 40 years later, here we are, wet feet and working faith. Jesus and Peter walked on the water together, and the impossible became possible. And then remember, after a short while, he saw the wind, and his faith failed him, and he began to sink. I don't know how far he sank, knee-deep, waist-deep, or up to his neck, but at some point he cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter's attempt and ours to make the impossible possible is limited only by our faith. Peter saw the wind, and his faith faltered, and he cried, Lord, save me. When Peter prayed, Lord, save me, he was not speaking of being saved from his sins, but save me from dying by drowning. This kind of prayer can be answered many times. A person may have a fatal disease and pray, Lord, save me. And then again, save me from dying in this accident, or save me from dying wounded in battle. And the prayer may be answered at different times and several times. Another way to be saved is to be saved not from dying, but saved in dying. And that salvation is a one-time event. John tells us about it in Revelation 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Jesus said, for except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Then Paul tells us how to get into the Lord when he says, All we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we might arise to walk in a newness of life. If you are in Christ, how did you get in? If you're in the car, how did you get in? If you're in the swimming pool, how did you get in? If you're in Christ, how did you get in? You have to get into Christ, being buried with him through baptism unto death. Peter and his Lord continued to walk on water until they were back in the boat. And then Matthew says the wind ceased. The storm was over. And John adds this very suggestive comment. Straightway they were at the land whither they were going. And so it is with us. The storms will continue for us in the Lord's work. They will never let up. But someday the Lord will come, and the storm will cease. And then, like they, immediately will be on the other side. The gospel song says it well for us. Listen to it again. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.